Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here again today. We welcome you in Christ's most holy and wonderful name today. And we just pray, as always, that His goodness, His mercy is following you all the days of your life. And in the end, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I wanted to share two quick little letters today. Says, Dear Langfords, thank you for your ministry on the Word. Our focus must be on godly counsel now since things have become so wicked. I like to get just enough political information to keep informed, but not get bogged down. We live in a very liberal state, but the eastern side, whose we live in, is very conservative, since the west side has the greatest population. We are usually outvoted, hence a liberal Congress. Lately, God has led me to pray for a fearing or a fear of God to fall on the lawmakers and a mighty transforming encounter with Him. That would truly be a miracle. I once was a liberal hippie Democrat, so I know it can happen. And that's from Mickey and Richard, and we thank them so much for their blessings to the ministry. They are from the state of Washington, great state of Washington. But what was so cute, so humorous was, I once was a liberal, hippie Democrat, so I know it can happen. And yes, it can, by the power of Christ, our Lord. I read a letter a few weeks ago from a Ruby Munholland. So she writes me back and she says, Pastor Langford, what a week for you. Reading my letter on air probably offended all the left over Trump folks. Sister Madonna took out the Catholics. You brought up the rear line on the pre-tribbers and denominationalism. Ha, ha, ha. I'm only kidding with you. I may be crusty, but I have a good sense of humor. The teachings were excellent and will continue to be, I'm sure. This is the way it must be. Do I enjoy the truth when it bites? No, but I always feel better after I repent, change my behavior, and move on. How true. The truth does bite. It does sting. But that's good. That means it's doing some good. As my sister-in-law once said, it takes hold. I said, there's no such word. She said, yes, you take hold of something. I said, no, you take hold of something. I've heard that all my life. Get the dictionary. Well, we got the dictionary, and guess what? It was not there. Nothing wrong with being country folk. I love them. I'm one. If you've bothered to go on the website and look at some of those old pictures when I was a little boy, on the farm with my grandpa, standing beside that 600-pound hog, I was about, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, cotton top. Wasn't afraid of that pig. I rode him all the time. He was my buddy. Actually, I called him Arnold. You remember the Ziffers, or Ziffles, I believe it was the Ziffles, on Green Acres. And they had that pig, Arnold, run through the house. Well, I called my pig Arnold, and he lived for a while, but we took him and made ham, bacon, and liver mush sausage out of him. That's just a part of living in the country. That's how country people survive. But I pray today we've opened up the program with encouragement, with strength, even though we're talking about darkness. And yesterday we were talking about the myths and the chains of darkness. and reminded me of a song by the Kingdom Heirs entitled The Chain Gang. The Chain Gang. Listen to this song today.
Well, we had a bunch of requests to do. This is our latest radio single, features Jeff right here, called The Chain Gang.
Saw a whole lot of people carrying chains. They were digging a hole with their very own sin. Oh, it's gonna be the grave the devil put them in. They were bound by hate, they were bound by greed, they were slaves to the things that they just don't need. Well, got a whole lot of people working on the chain gang. Shackled to the world, carrying their guilt and shame. God saw a whole lot of people working on the chain gang. So he sent his son, and his son came to bring those
chains. Down in this hole, the devil's got a hold and he won't let go. Well, I got tired and threw my shovel down. I fell to my knees there on the ground.
Well, the devil said, son, you belong to me, so I cried to the Lord and he said,
the blood of Jesus can break those chains. Nothing can break those chains but Christ our Lord. Do want to make mention of our weekly television program, Christian Television Network, tonight, 10 p.m. That's channel 376 on the Direct Television Network, channel 267 on the Dish Satellite Network, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m., Saturday evenings at 3 p.m. After we get rolling, it is our desire to do away with the Saturday evening program once people get locked in and move to another network, but keep the Tuesday night. I just feel God is desirous to grow the ministry. I believe it's time that we really greatly reach out to a lost and dying world. There is so much compromise. People need to hear the truth. Help me to pray. I've reached out to the Hickory Convention Center, Hickory Metro Convention Center, about a conference in late September, early October. I've reached out to them, waiting for them to get back with me. I want to have some Holy Ghost services. I want you to be in the presence of God. And God willing, I've not talked to them yet, but I'm sure, I hope they will come. Russ Dizdar, Jimmy D. Smith, myself, and one or two others. Just want to have church, just church, and be touched by the power and by the presence of God. I've been praying for months. Exodus 33, show me thy way. Show me thy way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me everything that I should be doing in this hour for the kingdom of God. And I told the Lord I would do anything. You ready for this? I said, God, if you want me to, I'll start another church. I don't want to do that. I'm 66 years of age. But if that's what God would will, I would do that. But I just feel in my heart the urgency to travel, to preach, have some conferences, minister the word of God, get people like you that are listening into the presence of God. I remember 2 years ago, nearly now, a dear brother and a dear sister both walked up to me. I don't know if they knew each other. It was at different times, but they were Anglican. They were Anglican, but they said they had spirit-filled Anglican churches. They attended Anglican churches. You can sit there in your pompous, prideful disposition and believe your denomination is the only one that has the truth. Got news for you. Some of the truth people think they're preaching is not truth. It's heresy. So that's why God embraces humility. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, according to James chapter 4, verse 6. We've been speaking about the chains of darkness. Today I want to look at the blackness of darkness. You know, we read the Bible. Regrettably, we see these words, we see these phrases, we see these statements, but we don't react, we don't respond correctly, I should say. We just read it. But I want to address the blackness of darkness. Jude verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It's kind of scary when you read that verse, when you finally begin to grasp and understand the gravity of that verse. Raging waves. He's talking about those who are like Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. The very things that churches and ministers and ministries should be ashamed of, it's like foam coming out of their mouths. And it's shameful. Wandering stars, they think they're Christian celebrities. Jude says they're wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Think of that. The fact that they are raging means they are wild, they are fierce, they are uncontrollable in every sense of the word. That's not a true Christian. A true child of God is always led, guided, directed, and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, be angry, sin not. Why? Because once you cross that threshold, once you cross that threshold and you sin, you've lost the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not, neither let the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry, sin not. Jesus looked about them with anger. See, there's nothing wrong with anger. My grandpa told me, he said, son, it's like steel. If you don't have a little bit of anger, a little temperament, or like steel, there's no temper in it. He said, it's no good. You got to have a little bit. Now, You can have too much, and you can do things that are very grievous to the Holy Ghost. See? Mark chapter 3, verse 5, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness or the blindness of their hearts. You see, hard hearts, blind hearts demands that God views and looks upon us as in a spirit of anger. Why? Your heart is hard. You're blind. You cannot see. And so it is God's desire out of that anger and not sinning. God cannot sin. God cannot be tempted with evil. Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Paul said, be angry and sin not. Anger can be an impetus to change things. Something tragic, something negative happens in your life, and you say, I'll tell you one thing, that'll never happen to me again. That's a good anger. I'm going to change that. I'm going to change that. You have to become angry at yourselves sometime. You let yourself get out of the way. As I concluded the program yesterday from 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I have to work to live the life that I preach. I have to labor. I'm not going to sit here and preach something and then go out here and live another way. That's a hypocrite. I mean a bona fide, genuine, card-carrying hypocrite. I don't want to be like that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Hypocrites go to hell. I said hypocrites go to hell, and they're going to be in the blackness of darkness forever because they resist, they grieve by it, and they quench the Holy Ghost. Again, raging waves of the sea. That's how these people are defined by the Apostle Jude. Foaming out their own shame. Jeremiah 3:3, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, and that refusest to be ashamed. What does Jude say? They, as foam, raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame, the very thing they should be ashamed, embarrassed of, it's like foam coming out. Wandering stars. In other words, they wander there means they have no direction. Now, they'll tell you what you need to give to get a blessing from God, but they're hirelings, they're hucksters, they're charlatans, they're pretenders, they're fake. And what's reserved? To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? I want to reiterate, I talked about that reserving from 2 Peter 2:17 yesterday. God's reserving this. It's like a special place. If you go into a particular type of meeting, they have seats that are reserved. When I have done funerals, they put the little reservation thing on the back of the seats for the family, the front rows, the front seats. They're reserved for the family, and everybody else gets to come in and sit where they want to. In weddings, you have reservations for the family of the bride and reservations for the family of the groom. There are seats reserved for them because it's their family. God says, I'm reserving chains of darkness. I'm reserving the blackness of darkness for these people. You've heard the little cliche, there's a place in hell for you. Well, there's some truth in that. Maybe this is where that came from, these references, these inferences to being reserved. And there is a place, biblically, soundly. There's a place of reservation for the people who are going to live in sin, not only them, but also for the fallen angels. We saw that. We taught that yesterday. Chains of darkness, blackness of darkness, mist of darkness. There's a lot of darkness, friend. And the great news is God's going to counter the darkness within the church, the body of Christ, through his light. As I said with in Exodus 10:21, in all the dwellings of Israel there was light. So in this time of darkness, there's going to be light. Let me say this again while I'm on the subject. Get ready for inflation. I just read the other day, Venezuela, I believe they pronounce it Bolivar, B-O-L-I-V-A-R, million dollar bill, if I recall, $500,000 bill and a $100,000 bill. Don't hold me to this because I read it quickly, but I think, you ready for this? The $1 million bill is worth 54 cents. That is the kind of inflation, that's socialism in Venezuela, and that's what these lawless, wicked, socialist Democrats want in America. I don't understand it. Well, I do. It's the devil. These people are demon-possessed. The devil kills, he steals, and destroys. And how does he do it? He uses people to do it. They're his minions. They're his cohorts. They're of their father, the devil, and the lust of their father they will do. I shared yesterday about the evangelicals who voted for Biden. They were pro-lifers. You sicken me to claim you're an evangelical and a pro-lifer and you voted for Biden. You disgust me. You say, well, you shouldn't feel like that. Yeah, you know why I feel like that? You say, you profess, you claim to be the same thing I am, a Christian. Folks, there is so much fake Christianity. There are so many false prophets. You've been misled. You've been misguided. You've been misdirected. They will not come back and repent. They will not apologize. They will not say they're wrong. Hey, your March the 4th has come and gone. You got another date? And I just saw, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Supreme Court says we're not going to hear one thing about the election concerning Donald Trump. Now, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. They're just not doing that for no reason at all. See, they fear Biden packing the court. So they want to keep their little cronyism confined to their nine, which I believe that's the right thing, not to put 30 Supreme Court justices in there, but keep the nine. But for fear of the liberal socialists stacking the court, they say, okay, we're not going there with Trump. Even though it's the right thing to do. Remember, they're called justices. Justices, meaning they're supposed to do what's just and right. And all of them. And I'm sure Mr. John Roberts, as the Chief Justice, dictates the program, the policy, and what they're going to hear and not hear. I'm not discouraged. I'm not beleaguered in the sense that I witness what's going on. I know that God is in control. I said God is in control. As the dear sister said the other day, yesterday when I read the letter, God is in control of all of this. God can bring every government down because he's God. He's God. He can do anything. So these angels, these false prophets, these that are of the nature of Cain, of the nature of Balaam, of the gainsaying of Korah. Jude says they're spots, like cancerous spots in your feast of love or feast of charity. They're twice dead, plucked up by the fruit, by the roots. That phrase, twice dead, means they're backslidden. See, they became born again. Now they're alive. They were dead in their trespasses. They were dead in their sins. They become born again. So how do you become twice dead? You backslide. You go back into sin. That's Jude verse 12. If you want to study that out, I'm not going to go there today. But when he said twice dead, plucked up by the roots, you go back and you're backslidden. I was a backslider. I know what I'm talking about. See, I, David Wren Lankford, was a bona fide backslider, baptized in the Holy Ghost with fire, called of God to preach, but I ran from that as a teenager. Got into my late teens, just backslid all the way to hell. I was thanking God this morning in prayer. Thank God you didn't leave me there. You came after me. This ignorant, blind, foolish young man, you came after me. But I was backslid. Had I stayed there, I would have been twice dead. He's not the God of the dead. He said, I'm the God of the living. So I would have been twice dead and then plucked up by the roots. You ever plucked up a tree or anything, a fruit tree or a flower or plant that's just utterly, totally dead? So you just reach over and you pull it up, the tree and all, pick it up. It's dead. Its roots are withered. It's died. See, that's what happens to a lot of Christians. Now, they don't believe they can backslide. Some of them don't. That's what it means to be twice dead. If you don't believe that, write me your definition, your understanding, exegete it. You tell me what it means to be twice dead. But you can't backslide. You can't lose your salvation. You better start reading your Bible and quit listening to the traditions of men. Listen to what thus saith the Lord. Again, this blackness of darkness speaks of heaviness, such as chains of darkness. Hell, along with its darkness, is a certain place where no one would ever want to be found in its attendants. You just don't want to go there. Now, when Jesus comes, I mentioned this yesterday, this world, the literal world and the universe, the cosmos, it's going to get very, 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 very dark. Now, you don't believe that. I don't believe the child of God is going to have fear in that hour. And I know what some of you are saying. Well, we're not going to be here. Okay. You keep believing that. But I'll say it again. The great tribulation has nothing to do with the wrath of God. When you say great tribulation, you're not talking about the wrath of God. It's distinctly separate and different. But you can't get these prophecy teachers to delineate the difference. They think the great tribulation is God's wrath. That's the furthest thing from the truth. The great tribulation is the wrath of Satan. Who was beating the mess out of Job? Was it God or was it the devil? Was it God persecuting the early church in Jerusalem or was it the devil? If Paul said hailing or dragging Christians, prosecuting them, consented, gave his voice or his vote to stone Stephen, who do you think was doing that, God or the devil? I'm telling you, folks, the church is so confused about so many simplistic truths. Oh, the great tribulation is the wrath of God. No, it's not. Why then is the wrath of God in the seven vials or the seven bowls? You'll find that in Revelation 15, verse 1, Revelation 16, verse 1. Why can't you make a distinction? Why can't you make a difference? You remember the story that Jesus used in Matthew 13? He cast this great net in the sea, and he brought all of this stuff in. What does he do? He separates it. He separates it. Why? He's not going to embrace that which is no good and that which is worthless. So he separates it because that's what he does. He's the great separator. Let me share that parable with you in Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. There's no rapture. There's no, I shouldn't say that, there's no pre-tribulation rapture. There is a rapture, but not a pre-tribulation rapture. You see, the separation is always the same, the wheat and the tares. Now we have the good put into vessels, the garner, the barn, but the bad, they're cast away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Who inherits the earth? The meek, the just, inherit the earth. And shall cast them, who? The wicked, into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, I taught that in Matthew 24, 2 years ago. As the days of Noah were, Matthew 24:37, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field. One shall be taken, and what? The other left. Who was taken in verse 39? The wicked. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You forget, God's taking the wicked away. He's not taking the righteous away. Oh, no, you're wrong. You're wrong, Brother Lankford. You're absolutely wrong. You're believing the lie. You're the one deceived. You see, when you come to this revelation, you thoroughly understand when you read now the wheat, the tares, when you read the large net. Let me share that again. Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Remember, Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come. That was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, gathered the good into vessels. You might say like canned meat. But cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world, or the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. You say, well, that's all great tribulation saints. It don't say that. It just says they were just. The just shall live by faith. You see, you're adding to the scriptures. You're taking away from the scriptures. God severs, cuts the wicked away from the just, and casts them into the furnace of fire. See, the flood was like a furnace of fire. And who did the flood take away? Those that knew not. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. Who was taken in the flood? They that knew not. That's who's going to be taken in the end. The wicked, not the righteous. Not the righteous. Well, you need to go back and restudy prophecy because you've gotten terribly offline. No, sir, I was offline, I got online, and I'm going to stay on the straight, the narrow path because I've read the Bible. It is clear. It is evident. And how about answering me Proverbs chapter 10, verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. I never heard a prophecy teacher talk about that Bible verse. That's right. You never heard him talk about it. You know why? It proves him wrong. That's why you don't hear him talk about it. Now, let me go another step further. He may not even know that verse is there because all he's doing is reading and studying the traditions of men. They don't seek new revelation. They don't seek a fresh manna, a fresh word from God. It's there. You just got to dig it out. You got to dig it out. Now, getting back on my subject of the blackness of darkness. Why will it become this black universally? Well, we're told before the great notable day of the Lord come, Jehovah's going to bring forth the judgment of darkness because of the sinfulness and the iniquities of men. This is their just reward. Joel 2, verses 31 and 32. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Can you imagine that? The moon into blood before the great and the terrible or frightful day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or shall be saved. This is going to be a time. Zechariah describes it as a time that the light is going to be seven times brighter than the normal. Now, I have no way of describing that kind of brightness. I'm struggling to define the blackness. But Christ, when he comes, it will be as the noonday sun in its strength, but multiply that times seven. You see, that's why Paul said that the Lord, when he comes, he's going to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. It's going to be so bright. It's going to be so bright, it will destroy the Antichrist. It'll destroy him. The illumination. The illumination, it'll be so bright. It'll be so bright, it will destroy the Antichrist. He destroys him with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now liveth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. This is a time. It will be so dark. The darkness can be felt, but then the light, the brightness of Christ will be so great, so magnified, it will destroy the Antichrist. That's off the charts, the reference I made, Zechariah chapter 14, about the brightness. The day will be like no other day that's ever been. Here in Joel 2:32, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Paul quoted that, Romans 10:13, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter uses it in Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So both Peter and the Apostle Paul refer to the words of Joel in Acts 2:21, Romans 10:13. This is going to be a phenomenal time. Some of us will see it. Some of us will not. Why? We will go before the Lord's return. Many will be alive when Christ returns, and they will witness this whole manifestation of both darkness and light. Amos chapter 5, verse 18. Woe. Remember, the word woe means great is one's grief. Unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Regrettably, Israel thinks they are welcoming their Messiah, but instead, he's already come as a lamb. This coming will be a day of judgment. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? Let me help you there. What end is it for you? It will be grief, pain, and sorrow for the wicked. It'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory for the redeemed. Let me go on. I'm in Amos 5, verses 18 through 20. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house, and leaned his hand on the wall, and the serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Now, this is before the actual coming of Christ. Remember Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, this is when Christ is getting ready to come. He tells us when he's coming. After the tribulation, not before. I've said it many times, I will say it again. If there's a pre-tribulation rapture, the angels misled the apostles at Christ's ascension. They said, you see how he left? He's coming the same way. They didn't interject a pre-tribulation rapture there, did they? No, but men will do that. Oh, no, that's the second advent. So the angels misled the apostles. I don't believe that. If you want to believe that, that's your prerogative. I don't believe they misled them. Immediately, Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. You see, before Christ returns, it's going to get terribly dark. I'm trying to help you see the protocol. Let me say this. We're in the throes of darkness, not yet physical darkness, but we're in the throes of spiritual darkness. And I'm believing the Holy Ghost is going to counter that spiritual darkness, and the redeemed of the Lord are going to have light. We're going to preach the gospel. Then the end shall come. We're going to preach the gospel around the world. It's going to get so dark, Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall behold him. That can only happen, and I believe that's literal, because the whole world is dark. Think about it. We live out here in the country. We don't have any street lights. When it's that dark, you can see a light anywhere, on a hill, on a mountain, miles away. You can see a light if it's big enough, of course, but you can see it. Why? It is so dark, you can't help but see it. When Christ comes, it will be a day of darkness. The day of the Lord is darkness. Why? So that every eye can see him, every eye can behold him, because he will be the light. Praise God. Well, I'm afraid of the dark. Hold on. He's coming, and he's bringing the light with him. Hallelujah. Now, what's Amos talking about here? What does he mean? As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house, and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? So you see, the man is due judgment. Here in Amos chapter 5, verse 8 through 20, this man is deemed, decreed, declared to be judged. So he runs out, he sees a lion, he flees from it. Doesn't do him any good. He meets a bear. Either way, he's going to get killed, destroyed. Or he went in the house, leaned his hand on the wall and said, wow, I just escaped the lion. I just escaped the bear. Puts his hand on the wall, trying to recuperate himself, and a venomous serpent bites him. It's inevitable. He's going to be judged. Every man will be judged accordingly. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Now, that's how it's going to get right up until after the tribulation. And then after the tribulation, we're going to begin to see a sign. Now, I know we're going to be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. That's not the point, what I'm getting ready to say. When that happens, it won't be but a split second, atomos, atomic, split second, like a split atom. But before that happens, there's going to be a sign. What is the sign? The sign is that everything has gone absolute dark, just utter darkness. And I like to visualize in my mind this laser beam. I mean, it bolts out of heaven. It's huge. It's a behemoth. It's a beam like none other. And here comes Christ riding the great white stallion. You see, it's as though it's a process. Now, don't get confused here. I know we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But the coming of the Lord is a process. Now, how did I derive at that? Remember when Christ ascended in Acts chapter 1? Did he just disappear? Nope. He started ascending. He got smaller, 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 and smaller, and finally he disappeared. They couldn't see him. The angel said, he's coming in like manner. When he illuminates the cosmos, and he's on that great white stallion coming out of the heavenlies, that's why every eye shall see him. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Remember, the word sign in the Greek means indications. What are the indicators? The sun's darkened, the moon does not give her light, the stars fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Some theologians believe, why has God shaken the heavens, the second heaven? Because that's where Satan, the prince of the power of the air, he's going to shake them to no end. Everything is going to change. And this is the sign. This is the process. And they'll see Christ coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And, of course, he sends his angels with a great shout or the great sound of a trumpet. And he'll gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Then the earth in its entirety will be illuminated again. Why? Because I believe God will then allow the sun to come back to its natural state. and the moon back to its natural state. All of this will come back, but it happens because of Christ's second coming. Again, let me elaborate before we leave today. Right now, we're in a state of spiritual darkness. You've got plenty of light outside. It's light right now. Maybe where you're listening to it might be already dusk or getting dark. But the point is, it's light. We have light. We'll get up in the morning, the sun will shine. But there's a spiritual darkness that's coming upon this nation. I mean, poor old Joe Biden, I give him the rest of the year. Kamala will be in there. You know the guy that runs the thing over there? He didn't even know Defense Department, didn't know his Secretary of Defense. I mean, the guy is, he just don't have it. You know, what am I doing here? And he's in Houston. He said, what am I doing here? You see, you don't see that unless you're in the spirit. That's a type of darkness. This guy's in darkness. What is that institution over there called? It's Department of Defense. Okay? Biden, Department of Defense. The city you're in is called Houston, Texas. Your brain is dark. You can't see, you can't function, you can't comprehend. We're all in the light right now, natural light. But now you can see the difference as the darkness is setting in. And it will get darker and it will get darker and darker. And you got these poor souls that call themselves evangelical pro-lifers, and they admittedly say, we voted for Biden. You're in darkness to do such things. See? When you're in darkness, you don't know what you're doing. You don't want to come to the light, because if you come to the light, the Holy Ghost says you got to quit the fornication, you got to quit the adultery, you got to quit the lying, the cheating, the embezzling. You got to quit all this stuff. You got to stop it. So you don't come to the light lest your deeds are reproved and rebuked. So you'd rather sit in darkness. I once read where a Syrian bear is more fierce than a lion. So this is probably why Amos said, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. He understood the fierceness of the bear. You know, a huge bear, just like a lion, can smite you with his paw, and those huge nails, those claws, take your head off in one swoop. There's a passage, Amos 4:12 says, O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. God is saying to you and I, prepare to meet me. Prepare to meet me. You see, at this time, Christ's second coming, Christ's second advent, this is an appointed time. It's also a time to meet out punishment concerning the wicked and to establish his earthly kingdom. Again, Christ is not going to come just at any time. I'm now hearing guys say things like, well, the rapture could take place tomorrow, but the 7-year peace treaty could happen 10 years later. I mean, it's like they're all over the place in timing. I mean, they're just, it's crazy. But God has never operated like that. In the beginning was the first day was the evening and the morning, then day two, then day three. God established time. Thus, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son. He won't come just at any time. He comes at a divine appointed time. Yet those will tell you, there are those who will say, he could come any moment. And like I said yesterday, I made a statement in October of 2018. We'd be here October 2021. Let's see if I'm right. That's not a prophecy. I'm not a prophet. But I understand what has to happen for Christ to come. So I can say that. And I'm not prophesying. You know, it's just like me saying tomorrow. Today's Tuesday, tomorrow will be Wednesday. Well, how do you know that? You're a prophet? No. Wednesday always follows Tuesday. That doesn't make me a prophet. It doesn't say I'm prophesying. That's just the protocol. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday starts the new week. And when you understand Bible prophecy, you understand it is synchronous. It is a divine design. I mean a divine design. And of course, as you grow and mature in Christ, you see things. You know, Daniel said, my cogitations troubled me. In Daniel chapter 7, he was troubled by the vision. And you have to process the Word of God in your own life. Some of you are an 8th grade Christian. Some of you are a 12th grade Christian. Some of you already have your master's degree. Some of you, regrettably, you're still a 2nd grade Christian. You're a Christian, but you're at a different level. And if you don't study, you don't pray, you don't pursue, you don't chase God, then you don't grow in grace and in knowledge. I mean, I was reading the other day, studying. I've been going through the book of John. I'm getting ready to go into the book of Acts. But three times, Jesus told Christ, or Jesus told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. I was looking at that. And it means, Peter, take them into green pasture and feed them. What is the green pasture? The green pasture is the Word of God. He says, if you love me, feed my sheep. You love me, feed my sheep. You love me, feed my sheep. So then to feed the sheep of God, you have to get them into green pastures. That's what the Psalm 23 says. Green pastures and beside still waters. As a minister of the gospel, it is our responsibility to take you into green pastures. When I had cows, I had two pastures. While one is growing, they're on the other pasture feeding. Once that one is eaten down, you move them from that pasture to the other pasture that's been growing. It is a process.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.